Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Canvys Automation Limited H2 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Anushka, and good afternoon, everyone. I am Akhilesh Gandhi, and at Stellar Investor Relations, we manage investor relations for Canvys Automation. I'd like to welcome you all to the Canvys Automation's H2 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. Today, we will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the year ended on March 31st, 2026. We are pleased to have with us today the management of Canvys Automation, mainly Mr. Raman Subba Rao, he's the Chairman and Managing Director of the company. With him, we also have Mr. Seshadri Srinivas, he's the CEO and Executive Director. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. These are based on the company's current beliefs, assumptions, and expectations. They are not guarantees of the future performance and involve uncertain risks and uncertainties. The company does not undertake any obligation to update these forward-looking statements to reflect any future events or developments. The financial results and investor presentation have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges. With that, I now invite Mr. Seshadri to share his opening remarks on the company's performance for the half year and the full year ended on March 31st, 2026. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Akhilesh. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all our shareholders, investors, analysts, and members of the investment community. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued trust and support. To start with, FY 2026 has been, without a question, the most defining year in Canvys' 30+ year journey. During the year, we delivered our highest ever financial performance, crossing two historic revenue milestones, surpassing 100 crore on a standalone basis and reaching close to 200 crore on a consolidated basis for the first time in the company's history. What makes FY 2026 truly special is not just the scale of these numbers, it is the nature of the pivot behind them. In three decades of building this company, we have never repositioned Canvys as decisively as we have this year. We have moved from being a trusted engineering services partner to become an AI-native engineering and solution resilience platform, a shift that frankly would not have been possible even a few years ago. This is a new chapter for Canvys, and I could not be more excited about what lies ahead. Let me talk about the single biggest driver of this pivot, our proprietary CAR framework, which stands for Canvys Automation Resilience. We see artificial intelligence not as another technology trend, but as a fundamental shift in how software is engineered, deployed, and managed. Recognizing this early, we made a conscious choice to embed AI into the very core of our technology strategy, and the CAR framework is how we have brought that vision to life. The CAR framework embeds AI across the complete engineering life cycle through four pillars. CAR-D, which stands for design, CAR-E, that is for engineering, CAR-T, which is for testing, and CAR-S for support. Rather than a rip and replace approach, CAR modifies what our customers have already built, making their existing investment self-healing, disciplined, and long-lived. Together, these four pillars create a continuous cycle of learning, automation, and improvement, enabling faster development, higher engineering productivity, improved software quality, and quicker issue resolution. The economics here are compelling. Our assessment shows that agentic AI delivered through the CAR framework has the potential to improve engineering productivity by up to 5x, increase revenue per employee by more than 40%, improve gross margin potential by up to 12 percentage points, and accelerate project delivery by nearly 30%. These are not incremental gains. there are structural advantages that make Canaries a fundamentally more scalable and profitable business. And this is not theoretical. Leading global enterprises, including a Fortune 100 technology company and a leading North American bank, are already deploying car-powered solutions with us today, validating the strategy in the real world. Building on this AI-first foundation, we are also scaling our portfolio of proprietary AI-powered products, which we see as a genuine second growth engine alongside our core technology solutions. Aries, our flagship platform for the pharmaceutical and life science industry, is emerging as one of the most exciting parts of the story. It is an AI-powered regulatory compliance and safety intelligence platform that manages regulated processes such as CFR Part 11, deviations, change control, compliance, and pharmacovigilance for global life sciences customers, turning complex, unstructured compliance data into clear, audit-ready insights. Aries addresses a large and growing regulatory technology market, and we believe it has the potential to become one of Canary's most significant long-term value creators as we deepen adoption with existing customers and expand into new markets. Alongside Aries, Clubbase is bringing agentic automation and intelligent insights to club hospitality and membership management. And Scolaris is transforming how universities manage the doctoral and research lifecycle, both addressing large under-penetrated markets with strong recurring revenue potential. All three platforms are built AI-native from the ground up and designed for scalable, subscription-based, multi-tenant delivery, giving us a second path to annuity revenue and proprietary IP alongside our services business. None of this pivot is possible without deliberate investment into our people. Talent and capability development is one of our core growth catalysts going forward, and we are investing meaningfully in future-ready talent, continuous learning, and AI upskilling across the organization. Every one of our engineering practices, from digital DevOps to digital assurance to intelligence and analytics, is being retrained and re-equipped to work AI first, so that our 430-plus professionals are not just using AI tools, but are fluent in designing, deploying, and governing agentic AI solutions for our customers. This investment in capability building is what will sustain our competitive edge long after the initial pivot is complete. Equally important, especially at a moment of transformation like this, is our culture. Any company can adopt new technology. Far fewer can carry their people through a genuine reinvention of how they work. At Canaries, our people-first culture is what makes this possible. We have a young, energetic, and increasingly experienced team, and we are proud that attrition has steadily improved over recent years, reflecting the trust and stability our people feel even as the business itself transforms around them. We continue to invest in the moments that build us, that build the culture, from Canaries Kridotsava and Canaries Women's Premier League to our Ugadi and Kannada Rajyotsava celebrations. Because a team that feels a genuine sense of belonging is a team that will carry any transformation forward with confidence. FY26 also brought welcome external recognition of the work our teams are doing. We were named GitHub's 2025 Growth Services and Channel Partner of the Year, recognized on stage at GitHub Universe in San Francisco, building on our passion as the number one ranked GitHub partner in APAC. Our water resource management team has honored with GIF Award for Urban Flood Early Warning System work, and we continue to be recognized as a leader in DevOps solutions and most innovative DevOps company, alongside long-standing partner recognitions from Microsoft, JFrog, GitLab, SAP, and Snyk. These awards are a welcome external validation of something we already believed internally, that the depth and quality of this team are genuinely best in class. Let me now take you through our financial highlights for FY26. Our standalone business delivered its highest ever performance, crossing the 100 crore revenue milestone for the first time. Total income stood at 101.7 crore, up 16% year-on-year. EBITDA grew 25% to 17.5 crores, with margin improving to 17% from 16% in FY25. Profit before tax and exceptional items grew 29% to 16.7 crore, a margin of 16%, reflecting genuinely strong operating performance. profit after tax stood at 10 crores. Growth here was affected by a one-time exceptional item relating to the implementation of labor code provisions, and excluding that item, our underlying profitability tells an even stronger story. On a consolidated basis, FY26 was another milestone year as we reached close to the 200 crore revenue mark. Total income stood at 199.7 crores, up 121% year-on-year, led by strong momentum in our technology solutions business. EBITDA stood at 24.5 crores and profit after tax stood at 14.8 crores. International revenue now contributes approximately 48% of the total, reflecting a genuinely global business with operations across India, the USA, and Singapore. Serving customers in 10-plus countries, while consolidated margins moderated during the year, this was a conscious outcome of our strategy, investments in talent, technology, and integration of Fortira. Investments we believe will drive stronger operating leverages as they mature. Our order book stands at approximately 441 crores, giving us healthy revenue visibility for the years ahead. Technology solution contributes 206 crores, nearly doubling from 105 crores in FY25. Fortira adds 207 crores and water resource management contributes 28 crores. The acquisition of Fortira INC in April 2025 has been a strong strategic move, strengthening our North American presence with 20-plus enterprise customers and materially expanding our capabilities across AI, cloud, cybersecurity, and digital engineering. This year, we created history and revenue, crossing both 100 crore standalone and close to 200 crore consolidated milestones for the first time. We are now bringing the same intent to our margin story. Over the next 12 to 24 months, we expect EBITDA margin, PAT margin, and our other key growth parameters to improve meaningfully, driven by three concrete levers. First, as agentic AI adoption scales across our delivery model through the CAR framework, we expect to realize much of the up to 12% point gross margin potential we have already identified, converting engineering productivity gains directly into the bottom line. Second, as Aries, Clubbase, and Scolaris scale, a revenue mix shifts progressively towards higher margin subscription-based product revenue, alongside stronger cross-sell and wallet share growth across our existing customer base. And third, the integration costs and talent investments that moderated margins in FY26, including the Fortira integration, are largely one-time in nature. So we expect operating leverage to build as these investments mature into scale. Put simply, we are deliberately pivoting our business model through AI and our product portfolio toward a structurally high margin, more profitable, and faster growing company. And we expect the numbers to show it over the next 2 years. I would like to, you know, take a moment to thank the people who made this year possible, to our employees, thanking you for embracing this pivot with such energy and commitment. You are the reason Candries can move this fast. To our customers, thank you for your continued trust and for partnering with us on your AI journey. To our shareholders and board of directors, thank you for your confidence and support as we invest in this chapter of growth. And to our partners and vendors, including Microsoft, GitHub, SAP, JFrog, and the wider ecosystem that supports us, thank you for standing alongside Candries as we build something genuinely differentiated together. With that, I would now be happy to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Disha from Sapphire Capital. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity. Couple of questions, sir. So for this quarter, sir, as you alluded in the presentation, we've seen some pressure in the EBITDA margins because of the integration costs and the talent onboarding. But going ahead, you expect that to scale up. So if you could just elaborate a bit more on how the ramp will be, what sort of margins will we target for this year and for the next year? And also on the Fortira side, because I think the company is significantly below our what our company level margins are. So how long do you think it will take for us to bring Portera back to our company level margins around 17-18%, and what will be the growth drivers there?
Thanks. I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier as well, so we are changing our business model with the introduction of Agentic AI and the CAR framework and the product portfolio. So this would definitely change the margins going forward. The correction will definitely take about 12 to 18 months. And Portera has already seen good traction with this. We are also reaching out to the existing customers of Portera, using our CAR framework and the products and the solutions what we have. So with that, you know, we are also pivoting Portera's business line and the business model. So it could take at least, you know, 12 to 18 months for us to really build the traction and change the margins.
Any sort of numbers that we're targeting for this year? The EBITDA margins?
We are working towards that. We have not really benchmarked or given any guidelines so far, but yeah, definitely, if you look at year on year, you know, we are improving. So this year also, we see there's a positive growth on both top line and the EBITDA margins.
Okay. And so because we have a very good order book currently, how do we see growth for this year, for the next year, and how much of that will be driven by Portera versus our core business?
So if you noticed, I think, you know, we have 200 crores plus order book, both, you know, the technology solutions and with Portera. So these are, again, you know, next 3 to 4 years order book. But, you know, we are working towards building additional order book as well, so that, you know, we can close maximum best possible for this year and also achieve the best results with good margins. And also water resource business, you know, we are picking up good projects now. So that will also add up to the margin book.
And how is the current pipeline for the order book? And what is the key geography that you're targeting? What will be the export share for this year?
The total order book stands at around 440 crores. And as I mentioned, around 48% of our business is coming from export. So, you know, the target is to cross 50% plus on the export business and, you know, have a similar business in the India region.
Okay. And what about the pipelines of the orders that we've bidded for? How do we see the inflow for this year?
Pipeline is pretty strong. We are working on multiple project opportunities, and as we speak, you know, we are adding new orders into the book. So as on date, it stands at 440, but I see, you know, easily we can add another 70 to 100 crores order book. So that's the kind of opportunity that we are working today.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is again on the revenue CAGR. So this 400 crore order book, this is executable in what period? Is it like 18 months, 24 months?
Now, this is like, you know, 3 years, and some projects are even available for the 4th year, but most of these projects for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, can you repeat that? The audio quality was not that great.
Most of the projects are for 3 years, the order book, and very few, you know, countable ones are even extended to the 4th year, but majority of the projects are spread across 3 years.
Right, sir. And how much of the current revenue, you know, is the recurring revenue? Like, what percentage of current revenue will you tag as recurring, like ARR?
1 second. Let me. Around 370 crores are, you know, on the recurring revenue.
Okay. And for revenue, what do you expect growth to be for next 2 years? Revenue growth. It's fair to say that we'll do about 18-20%, or more than that, 20%.
It should be. We are targeting a little higher as well, but at a bare minimum, yeah, 20% is quite achievable, but we are targeting for higher growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Neeraj from Pranash Group. Please proceed.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, with regards to your recurring order of 367.4 crores, this is the recurring from the client. That means after 3 years, then they just renew it. Just a clarification on that.
That's right. I think, you know, there are certain
but what will be the annual run rate of this recurring order? Like how much annually you can bill to the client? Is it evenly billed across the 3 years period?
Okay, let me explain you. I think, you know, fair question. So these are some projects are annually renewed, and some projects are renewed every 2 years, and some projects at every 3 years. So every year renewal, what we do is generally, you know, 100% of the project value will be consumed and also, you know, built. So 2 years project, generally what happens, we put SOW, what we call a statement of work, for a period of 2 years, but we see that the consumption changes as the customer business progresses. And sometimes we consume more in the first year, so they give, you know, additional SOWs in the second year and the third year. It all depends on the customer, you know, business pivot as well. But in most of the cases, we try to consume 100% of the available work orders. And in some of the cases, Q4, they also end up giving the temporary additional funds for their any new initiative. And most of the new customers that we acquire also, you know, run into multi-year contracts. So that way, you know, there is a repeatable work order from the new customer base.
Got it. Another question is, your order book increased from 105 to 440. Out of that, Fortera is about 207 CR. So even if I remove it, then also your order book grew quite meaningfully. But we haven't seen that much of new order announcement from you guys. So is there not a practice to issue any large order that has been received by the company to the SEBI or to the exchange?
Yeah. No, the large orders are getting announced in the exchange, but you know, we are also thinking, should we do a kind of monthly announcement, even if it is, you know, the small wins, so that, you know, we can consolidate and put a reasonable details, so that, you know, every month there is a visibility available. But I think, you know, the large orders are getting announced in the exchange now.
Okay, because even excluding the acquisition, which is an inorganic growth, so then also your order book meaningfully grew by 2.3x compared to the previous year.
Correct, you're right. So that's because
but
of...
your announcement does not show that. That's the issue. Okay.
So that, One strong suggestion
would be, please issue a quarterly results. You have already listed for now, I think, 18 to 24 months. Soon, you will have the period to transit to the main board. There, you need to have the quarterly results to be disclosed out there. Please practice this quarterly result disclosure of financial statement.
Thanks for that suggestion and recommendation. We are deliberating internally towards this, and we are getting prepared to do that. Definitely, we want to give more visibility, more details to all the shareholders and investors. So we are working towards that, and definitely this input is taken positively, and we will work towards this.
Understood. Another question is, since you are now close to 50% of your exports are in you. From overseas, and with Indian currency devaluating, aren't when you are saying a 20% growth, are you talking of a 20% growth in the constant currency or in INR terms for the revenue for the current financial year?
Right now it is in INR, but yeah, we are also working towards...
Well, 15% has been already been devaluated in INR. If you see from the last year's weighted average cost to this year's weighted average cost that you will be realizing, last year would be about 83-84 rupees, I guess, weighted average realization in INR. This year is already 96-97, could be higher as the year progresses. So I think you should have a much higher target in INR terms.
Yeah. As I said, you know, 20% is much doable, but we are targeting for a higher growth. So we are working towards, you know, reaching that higher value. But yeah, 20% is the minimum that, you know, as mentioned.
Got it. And I have joined a bit late. I missed the first participant asked that you might see a margin pressure in the first quarter. Is there, what's the reason for that? Because all the equation and everything is done so well. Why do you see a margin pressure in the first quarter?
Margin pressure.
Is the PAT margin or EBITDA margin going to go down, or I think it will increase because last year you had the integration cost, synergy benefits should start playing.
Increase, as I said. I think, you know,
Not go down.
Okay. Yeah, no.
All the best. I'll go back into the queue.
No, thank you.
Thank you. We proceed with the next question from the line of Varun Shivram from Choice. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, Mr. Varun, you're audible.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my first question will be on the AI piece. So now Canarus has like positioned itself as an AI company, right? And just wanted to ask how much percentage of our revenue in FY26 came from these AI-led engagements? Any key projects you would like to highlight on this front as well?
Yeah, good question. In FY26, we did not bifurcate our books to record the AI revenue. But yeah, we did execute some of the good projects. From this year, we started even bifurcating the AI revenue. So going forward, you would see that bifurcation coming as part of the results, like, you know, what is our AI business and how much or how many projects we are executing. The metrics will be announced. But if you ask what kind of projects that we did it, as I mentioned in my speech as well, so we did good implementation for the large Fortune 100 technology company as well as one of the bank in North America. Also, we have used quite a lot of, as part of our, you know, Microsoft and GitHub partnership, we have done a good amount of enablement on the Copilot. Copilot is, again, an AI engine of GitHub and Microsoft, and we have done enormous amount of work on the Copilot. In fact, we are the favorites of Microsoft and GitHub when it comes to the Copilot implementation and the enablement. When I say enablement, we did around 200,000 developer community enablement across India, one of the highest enablement in the entire globe. So when I say enablement, we do an end-to-end, you know, Copilot implementation and train all the developer community, do a lot of POCs and ensure, you know, they are capable enough to use the Copilot the way business looks at. So we did quite a lot of good work in FY25 on the AI, but we did not actually bifurcate the booking, which we are doing it starting April this year.
Understood. So continuing on this question, especially you mentioned Copilot, sir, the thing is that these AI companies like OpenAI, Claude, they have seen that they are expecting to grow at 100% in the coming years. I think this, some of this growth will be translated into our growth as well, right? So what kind of growth should we look at for our AI business? What will our revenue mix be going forward? And will the overall growth of AI be much faster than the traditional business what we're doing?
Definitely the growth is faster, and also the margins are better because, you know, the amount of work done will be faster. Productivity gain is seen using the AI engines. And a lot of customers are also asking quick turnaround because they all feel that, you know, AI is the norm and we cannot avoid that. So if you look at the business shift, I would say any enterprise or, you know, any companies of our size, at least 30 to 35% should come from AI to start with, and it will keep increasing and it will change the model.
Understood. So are we planning any partnership with Claude, as in, because they are, I think, growing faster compared to all the other players in enterprise AI?
We have already partnered with Claude. We are Claude partners now, and we are working towards even the solution partnering. Today, we are at a different partnership level, but they do have multiple partnership levels, and we are working towards their solution partnering. But if you ask, are we a cloud partner? The answer is yes, we are a cloud partner today.
Understood. So my next question is on Fortera. So it has grown significantly, especially on international presence has grown because of it. But it, I think, is a traditionally lower margin business than the India business. So what is the strategy behind this? If you could explain it a little bit.
You're right. I think, you know, the strategy behind increasing the Fortera margin is also we need to pivot their business model as well. So today, if you look at the SOW of Fortera, so it is basically project basis and related to the headcount basis. So we also need to change that using our solutions and the cost framework of the AI agent. So that way, the margins will be better going forward. And we are in conversation with Fortera's customers in pushing our solutions, pushing our products, and the agentic AI cost framework. So we are in advanced discussion with some of the customers. So once that model shifts, the margin correction will automatically happen. And we are also trying to see how much can be delivered from our India office as well. So that will also increase the margin. So these are the two strategies that, you know, we are working towards the margin improvement.
Understood. So do you believe Fortera can be on par with the Indian business when it comes to margin and going forward?
That is the target, and it should actually go much beyond the India margin, because, you know, that's where the money lies. So we are working towards that.
Understood, sir. So my last question would be, how would you like, would you like investors to think about Canaris as an, whether it's an IT solution company or like an AI platform company? Because I think valuations for both these companies would be different in the market. IT services companies have been affected quite hard, while AI companies like, let's say, Fractal, etc., they have been decently well received by the market. Just wanted to understand.
We moved from services business at least in the last couple of years. So we were into solutions, and now we are into products journey. So we call ourselves as AI first solutions and product company now. So we, if you notice, we also have three products and one flagship product, Aries, again, you know, built on AI. So we call ourselves as AI first solutions and product company.
Understood, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir, for such detailed answers and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pragyam Ladha from Omni Management LLP. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So just one question. What kind of partnership do we have with Claude, like you just said? What are we providing them, or how are we partnering up with them?
So right now, we are at a silver level partnership. When I say silver level, that's a name of the partnership. So let me give you a little detail about what we can do as part of this. So one, we can use the Claude framework in delivering the solution. Second, we can also try sell you know, solutions on Claude, and we can bring enterprise customers to Claude, and they would provide us the budget to implement the AI solutions for the customers. So we are eligible to claim the budget from Claude for implementing the solutions. And the other side, Claude can also use us as the solutions partner to deliver AI solutions to the customers of Claude. So we also work with Claude now in providing this solution on their AI platforms.
Okay. Sir, how many such partners would be there in India for this kind of work, like the silver grade partners? How many would be there? And that's an approximation, not a accurate number.
I don't know the number, but I see that, you know, not many partners are available. The first partner onboarded in entire India was Infosys. So they were onboarded at a strategic level. And after that, they started, you know, working with very niche technology companies like us. So they're also very, very picky, you know, adding a partner into their ecosystem. It's not like, you know, anybody can apply and become a partner. So you'll have to undergo a lot of, you know, case studies, and also there has to be, you know, so many certified engineers available to even become a partner. So we did all of this. So we do have certified engineers, and they also certify through their, you know, tests and portals. So we've done all of that. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I know I'm not answering your question directly, but yeah, not many partners available. But and also, it's not easy to become a cloud partner. So you can now imagine, you know, how many companies can be on their partner ecosystem.
How much time did it take for us to like pass through all these entry barriers in partnering up with Claude?
We took about 3-4 months to become the partners, and now we are scaling towards the solution partners. So another probably next, you know, 3 months we should become next level partners of Claude.
Okay, so like how many grades are there? Just a follow up on that.
How many?
Grades, like you said, you are a silver grade partner.
I think, you know, they do have the solution partner, and then they also have the product partners. Basically, you know, if companies are creating products using only Claude and promote the models used in Claude. So these are the various types of partner. One is the license seller. That's a basic partnership where, you know, the companies can just sell cloud license and then get some kind of commission for that. And the second is the silver partner where, you know, we can also work with cloud and provide solution. Then the solution partners where, you know, we can drive the solution through the cloud engine. And I believe the product partner is also there, but I can confirm on that.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. Okay.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vinod, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. I had a couple of questions. So earlier, in the previous years, we had some cash flow issues from the domestic business. So I just wanted to check if the cash flow situations have improved, particularly with the domestic business. And do you have any plans for declaring dividends this year or next year? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Vinod. The cash flow definitely, you know, it is improving, and we have started collecting payments from the customers as well. So cash flow is improving. Dividends, yeah, we are deliberating. So we get to know as we reach closer to closing of this financial year results. But yeah, points are there in the deliberation now.
Yeah, thank you. So as a follow-up, yeah, around your IPO time, you had come up with a target of about 10x growth in the next few years. Is that target still intact, and by when do you plan to achieve it?
No, definitely, that is intact. And if you've seen the way that we are growing today, the consolidated figure stands close to 200 crores. And that also shows that, you know, we are growing in multiple X. It's not like, you know, the traditional growth of 15-20%. When we got listed and today's results, if you look at, it's a multi-X growth, what we have seen. And we have transitioned ourselves from services to solution to product, keeping the 10x as
the end goal, so we are working towards that and pivoting our business from services to solution to product. But this journey, I'm sure, will yield, you know, to achieve this 10x growth. And we still believe that, and we still discuss these things internally as well.
Okay. Yeah. One last question. So on the Fortuna acquisition, so before the acquisition, I had like seen the numbers. They were kind of, you know, mature, kind of slow growing company. Has that changed, or do you believe the standalone growth will be much faster? What are your views?
No, standalone definitely. Standalone, we've been working for the last 3 years, right? So in the transition, and we have done that. So Fortuna, we have just acquired last year, and the entire last year, we spent good amount of time, effort, money on the integration part. So we are concentrating on the Fortuna's growth this year onwards, and we can see that Fortuna definitely will start growing this year. Both standalone and Fortuna, we are targeting to grow together now.
Okay, sure. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashok Sharma, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, Mr. Ashok.
Yes, thank you, sir, and congratulations on crossing the 100 crore mark in revenue. So my question pertains to the AI-related thing. So now every IT company is positioning itself as an AI-enabled company. So what differentiates our CAR framework from the AI offerings that the larger companies in the sector provide?
Definitely, good question. If you look at any AI, right, I mean, you know, people talk about, see, there are two ways of implementing AI, right? What happens, one, most of the people think that, you know, they'll have to revamp their entire technology stack and build a new application using AI, then only it works. And thereby, you know, that's the whole reason a lot of large enterprise, they're not moving today. If you look at the data, less than 3 to 4% of the enterprise, they have the deep adoption of AI. So that shows that there's a big TAM available. And second, if you look at the CAR framework, what we do here, we don't believe in rip and replace, meaning, you know, we don't want to really replace the existing system. So we want to do, what we want to achieve is harness the existing investment, what the company has done, and build layer on top of your existing business. So thereby, we say that it's a smartify approach, meaning, you know, you don't have to really do anything with your existing application or the investment. So we bring in CAR framework, which sits on top of your existing, be it, you know, the application layer or on the infra layer. Then we smartify the way they operate the business, the way they operate the business model and the application. So thereby, they just invest on building this smart on top of their existing, you know, application and infrastructure. So that's a key difference between the CAR framework and any other, you know, new AI implementation. The reason why we have taken this approach, we've been in the industry for more than 30 years. So we have seen multiple change in the IT ecosystem, IT landscape. So we understand in depth of the applications, infrastructure, and how the technology has evolved. So that gives us an edge over other competitors, because the new age companies, what they do is they want to build new application using AI, which it's not a rocket science today. So anybody can build. But can you understand the existing application? Can you understand the existing ecosystem? Can you understand the landscape and build AI on top of it, thereby, you know, we smartify. So that's a key difference between the CAR and the regular AI components.
Okay, got it. So just the follow-up on this, so after implementing the CAR framework, how many customers have we commercially adopted, and did we start any meaningful revenues from them?
Definitely. There are already, you know, three large enterprise customers who are working with us. One in the technology space, the other one in the BFSI space, and other one in the pharma. So all three enterprise customers, we are working using the CAR framework.
Okay, got it. So so customers believe then the customers are willing to pay for the to pay a premium for the AI enabled delivery and then the faster execution that it delivers.
Correct.
Okay, got it. And so it's gonna remain a niche or slowly probably this particular segment will also become competitive.
Right now it is a little premium, but we do not know. I mean, you know, how it evolves, right? Because every new technology, every new change, definitely, you know, we also need to pivot our business. But as of now, yeah, it is premium. Premium, you know, there are two ways of looking at this, right? One is the premium that you charge, but at the same time, customer will also save a lot of money because, you know, customer do not want to pay what they used to pay earlier to develop any traditional application. So they end up paying less, but they end up paying premium. So that's the definition to them.
All right. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank
all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Mahendale from Robo Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you. So my question was on data. Currently, our data days are about 150 days. How do you see that going forward?
We are actually seeing good improvement on the data side. Probably, you know, we can share the new report because after the last year's financial results, there has been significant change in the first quarter itself. So we can share that.
Okay, that will be great. And my second question is on the product revenue, like for either for Q1 or for FY26, what was our total product revenue?
Product revenue for the last year, you mean to say?
Yeah, correct.
Product revenue, it is not there for the last year. This year, we have started the recognition because last year we were only developing and did some pilots. So the recognition will start from this year.
Okay, so Q1, do you have for Q1?
Q1, we are working and it's in the advanced stage of signing.
Okay.
When we do
the half year results,
yeah, we would be announcing.
Okay, thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Vinod, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, I just wanted to know, like, you had launched the new product orders, right? So, how was the traction on that and what kind of revenues do you expect? Can it become a meaningful portion of your overall revenue? What are your views?
No, thanks for that. Yeah, this Aries is our flagship product. So we are working extensively on this Aries. Definitely it will change good amount of parameters, be it on the revenue, margin corrections, and also on the scale. So since this being a subscription model, so we anticipate a good revenue this year. And because any product, you know, it requires minimum 18 to 24 months to get into that scale mode. This year, our concentration is to onboard a few good logos and do some good penetration into the new logos, but next year onwards we want to do a deep and volume game, but this year it is strategic that, you know, we want to acquire some good logos and create some testimonials and get some customer voice and then, you know, share that in the ecosystem so that way we are setting the stage for the scale.
Okay. So is this mostly for the domestic market or so?
No, this is for the international, but we are targeting India and US to start with. So these are the two markets that we are working in today. But eventually, we want to expand this to Europe and the APAC region.
Sure. Thank you. That's all I
have.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Seshadri Srinivas for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, everyone. FY26 marks the beginning of Canary's next growth chapter with AI at the core of our strategy through the CAR framework. A growing family of proprietary AI products led by Aries, a stronger and more capable team, a culture built for transformation, and a strengthened global platform. We are well positioned to deliver sustainable long-term value for every one of our stakeholders. Thank you once again for joining us today, and thank you for all the support extended so far. Love to work with you all. Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of Canary's Automation, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.